This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Six forty-four, 16 till 7, Thursday morning. That's time to talk to Mike Strain, Commissioner of Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry, also a very gifted veterinarian. How you doing, Mike?
Man, I am doing great. It's Lent, it's seafood time. You know, crawfish is on the menu and shrimp, oysters and crabs, gumbo. It's really great. And of course this week you have Ash Wednesday and you have a Friday, you know, dedicated to seafood. So look, it just doesn't get any better than that. And it's spring's here. I think we're through the freezes. You know, we're starting to get our crops in the ground, so everything is moving forward.
Dave Cohen wanted me to tell you thank you for the sweet potato idea. He said he put his sweet potatoes in a crawfish boil on Tuesday, and they were delicious.
Good. And any sweet potatoes left over, you can wrap them in tin foil and put them in the refrigerator, and then you can take them out. You can heat them up in the microwave, or you can set them if you're cooking some steaks or something on the side of the grill, and it's like a twice-baked sweet potato. Well, yeah, a little bit of spice, but absolutely delicious.
Hi, Mike, you're a veterinarian. Let me ask you this. There's a new member of the Tucker family, Teddy TT, I call him, because he's a pitler.
He gets
a little excited, and some other people texted in after I mentioned that. Is there anything, do dogs outgrow that, or once they're pitlers, are they pitlers? How does that work?
Well, most do outgrow that. What you need to do is make sure you bring, you know, Teddy outside frequently. And when you first come home, you know, bring Teddy outside right away. Don't really get Teddy excited, you know, overexcited.
Mike, let me tell you what I have to do. I have to park the car on the street so he doesn't hear it. Then I have to run in and unlock the door and quickly unlock the patio door, open the cage, and run out to the grass. But even at that, I still have to quickly spin him around and pet him from the back. Otherwise, well, you know.
Yep. He'll get better. He will get better. They're excited to see you. They've been in the cage. But you're doing the right thing by putting him in the cage. And when you're coming home, bringing them out right away.
Yeah,
you know, so they can understand they need to go in the grass. And they'll get better. What type of dog is it?
It's a combination of everything. It's a mutt. No, it's
very
a rescue,
well-bred.
But it's a good dog. Really is. He's a
That's
good dog.
Right. Yeah. Very sound genetics. Very well bred. Well, good. Good for Teddy. Good for you. I'm glad. I'm happy for you.
Well, thank you. And how's Hootie doing? Speaking of dogs,
Hootie is doing great. Every day is Hooterific. Doing well. You know, growing continuously. Just having the time of her life. You know, she loves it on holidays when we're home. You know, but about 7 o'clock at night, she tuckers out, and you look around for her, and she's sleeping in the chair. But she's good. She does her patrol out here on the farm and checks things out, then comes back, tell Mama everything's okay, and gets up on the chair and takes a nap.
Just about every day has been Teddy grow around these parts, but let's move on. Let's talk about somebody texted in. I found this interesting. I got a couple of different texts, so I'm going to combine them, if I will. And it says, trying to ask Mike Strain about farmers and tariffs. What impact will tariffs have on farm exports? Do subsidies to farmers offset loss of markets, such as the Chinese soybean loss that happened previously? Talk about all of that, because here's my thing. If we wind up with subsidizing farmers for tariffs,
easy.
If we wind up subsidizing farmers for tariffs, well, then the taxpayers are paying the tariffs, right?
Well, what happens if there's tariffs, normally what they do, they'll take the tariff money and set it aside and use those dollars to offset any injury to the industries affected by the tariffs. And so that's what's been done in the past. If you look at the market for soybeans, you know, more than a third of the soybeans that we raise, we have to sell offshore. Now, China has traditionally been our largest customer, but that is changing. We focused on other countries. China's actually not our largest customer anymore. Our largest trading partners actually are Canada and Mexico, but we're moving into India and to other markets. For the last several years, we've been focusing on lesser or smaller markets to move our products. And so China has been buying more and more of the soybeans from Brazil and other parts of the world for the last several years. And so it's actually not as big a deal as it once was. Now, with all that said, all the tariffs are still under continuous negotiation. As you saw yesterday, and they haven't announced it yet, with Canada and Mexico, they were discussing about bringing those tariffs down maybe to, quote, 12.5% to 15%. And so all that's in flux. Also what's happening is that there are being carve-outs of different products from the tariffs. For instance, with Canada, they're pushing very hard for carve-outs for potash fertilizer because 38% of the potash fertilizer produced in the world comes from Canada, and we use a great deal of it in the United States, but also in piglets. We import a lot of pigs there. So none of this is set in stone yet. Overall, there's a discussion that due to the tariffs, we could see if they're fully implemented at 25% and then they're retaliatory tariffs, we could see an increase in food prices of 0.7% by and large. So if they come in at 12.5%, you would see that at about a 3.5% increase in food prices.
But if, and I'm just trying to get to tariffs here, if taxpayers pay, if the government pays subsidies to farmers to offset tariffs, then it's not the country, the foreign country paying the tariffs, it's our country paying the tariffs, correct?
Well, the tariff money collected from the foreign country on the goods they ship here will go into a fund. And generally, the money's in that fund is what is used to offset whatever industry is affected by the tariffs from the reciprocal tariffs. Does that make sense?
So
it's
it
not
does.
Directly, it is not, it's designed not to be directly from the taxpayer paying in the taxes.
So who's paying the money? The tariff on the product, when it comes in, now we're talking about agricultural products.
It could be any products. So it could be any products. When they set the tariffs, then that money goes into a pool. And from that pool, whatever industries are negatively impacted, then generally the government will help to offset that until all that equilibrates. It's generally a short time, maybe a one-time payment, but it is not a continuous payment. But that's what's under that system.
Well, it's interesting. I'm trying to learn about this. So a tariff, then, the country that is importing, upon which the tariff is placed, pays the tariff to the U.S. Treasury, and then the U.S. Treasury can use, yes?
Yeah, so in other words, if say we collect tariffs from China, Canada, or Mexico on whatever goods, those dollars go into generally a fund. And from that...
Wait, those dollars from whom go where, Mike?
By the reciprocal tariff. The reciprocal tariff. In other words, when we sell goods, in other words, for us, we're selling soybeans, for instance, to China. That would be a reciprocal tariff in that particular case. So there, that would cause, you know, cost of our soybeans to go up and lessen our market, which could actually drive down the net price that the farmers get for the soybeans.
I guess I'm still trying to figure out who pays the tariff to who. So if China...
Ultimately consumers in both countries, okay. Right? Because at the end of the day, the tariffs are paid by consumers and the producers both. So what we see now, you know, if you're looking at, for instance, tariffs on rice, export tariffs on rice, a number of the countries are the number of the buyers. So the buyers will be telling the suppliers, look, I can't pay you as much as I was paying you because now I have to pay a tariff. But at the end of the day, they're going to have to pay a tariff if their country imposes a tariff on the American product. In other words, the retaliatory tariff.
I'm trying to move from the
saying what they're going to do
from the cash, from the politics of the cash register and the wallet is what I'm trying to do. 6:53, 7 till 7. Quick break. Mike, when we come back, people want to talk about eggs and the price of eggs and what's going to happen with that. Traffic now, WWL. 6:57 and a half. Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to Mike Strain, Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. Mike, let's talk about egg prices and what's going on there, and bird flu, and have they gotten a handle on that? And tell me what's going to happen with that.
Well, last week I was with Secretary Rollins, and she talked about it twice, once at dinner on Tuesday night and then formally on Wednesday. And believe it or not, the first item of discussion in the Trump's first cabinet meeting was eggs. And so there's a five-prong approach that she announced for combating the avian flu. One, increase biosecurity and really pushing that. Two, increase research. And then the development of vaccine and then instituting a vaccine. Where there's vaccines being developed for livestock and poultry, at the end of the day, that's where we've got to get. So right now with our egg inventory, eggs, average dozen price for large eggs is around $8.30. Across the United States, it's about $8.20. And the good news is we're stable. There's been what we call demand destruction. In other words, people aren't buying as many eggs because of the cost. But inventories are very low. Still, it's going to take some time to rebuild those flocks of chickens. That's the bottom line. But we are working on and really looking at vaccinating these hens. And at the end of the day, that's what we've got to do, is develop a vaccine program and rebuild that to get those price of eggs where you can go to the store and get them for $1.29 or $2. And that's at the end of the day what we have to do. And we are working on that diligently. But biosecurity right now is the key, and that's everyone's concern in
Mike,
the egg industry.
Thought about you Tuesday. We had Rex's Majesty, King of Carnival, a successful attorney, lives uptown. Guess what he does? Raises chickens.
That's right.
And he
that's
loves
right.
it.
Well, I tell my chickens, you better not get sick. And they look at me like, well, that's your job. Keep us from getting sick.
Dr. Mike Strain, it is. Mike Strain, thank you, sir. Commissioner, Louisiana Department of Agriculture and Forestry. A pleasure as always. We learn something new every time he's on. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Greg Upton, director of LSU Center for Energy Studies. Louisiana's emerged as a hotbed for carbon capture projects. But there's been a pushback. We'll talk about that. Then we'll go to the Vatican to check in on Pope Francis. So a lot coming up. Stay with us. Tommy Tucker, WWL.